Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 31, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Russia's crypto mining farms would have to report to the government under proposed bill. Signature Bank gave dozens more PPP loans to crypto firms than previously reported. Meet Taurus, the one-click blockchain wallet trying to make Web3 as easy as Chrome. Huobi and OKEx battle for supremacy in China. Now let's get started. Russia's crypto mining farms would have to report to the government under proposed bill. The Russian government wants to know what the country's data centers are up to, and that includes cryptocurrency mining farms. The Ministry of Digital Development, Communications and Mass Media has published a proposed bill for public feedback, which firstly provides a definition of precisely what counts as a data center. The bill, if passed, would also obligate data centers within the nation to report their operations to the ministry's supervising agency, the Internet Censor Roskomnadzor. According to the draft document, published on the government portal Friday, a data center is defined as an object with its own infrastructure for hosting hardware providing storage, processing and access to data, with guaranteed levels of accessibility, security and management. An operator of a data center must provide the agency with information about the computing capacity of such a facility, how the data is stored, which services the center provides and at what cost. In addition, the regulators want to know about the land and buildings the data center is housed in, even down to how many shelves it has and to what extent the shelves are filled, how it's connected to the electricity grid and how it's certified. They know already. Igor Runts, CEO of Bitriver, one of the largest mining farms in Russia located in Siberia, believes that the new rules will apply to miners and that, most likely, they will have to file a report every quarter. The government needs this data to monitor the digital economy development. Right now, nobody is gathering information about data centers. On the other hand, including commercial information into such reports seems redundant, Runts said. The government already knows all the larger mining operators anyway, he said, as any farm consuming more than 1 or 2 megawatts of power can be detected by the electric grid operator. Artem Kozlik, founder of Roskom Svoboda, a non-profit monitoring online censorship and surveillance practices in Russia, says that gathering such a massive amount of information about all the data centers in one place can potentially open them up to security threats. It can attract attention of people from the foreign intelligence services to criminal actors, Kozlik said. The parameters for data storage, which are on the list to be reported, include sensitive information like hardware manufacturer, technical settings and software updates, he added. We all know how easily the data has been leaked from the government agencies over the recent years. Centralization of sensitive information like this is an opening for illegal access, Kozlik said. Signature Bank gave dozens more PPP loans to crypto firms than previously reported. Signature Bank extended dozens more loans under the Federal Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, to cryptocurrency businesses than was previously reported. Around $20 million of the $1.9 billion in PPP loans the bank extended was given to roughly 40 firms in the digital asset space, said CEO Joseph DiPaolo. The executive would not name the firms it gave PPP loans to or give an exact number of firms who took out a loan through the relief program. Signature's $1.9 billion in loans accounts for roughly 0.55% of the entire $350 billion that was disbursed through the U.S. Small Business Administration. Public records show that Signature issued loans to a number of prominent firms in the space, including Ethereum venture studio Consensus, VC firm Polychain Capital and crypto lender Celsius Network. DePaolo said the bank's crypto PPP loan volume was due to other banks serving crypto not having the resources to offer the same kind of program. Previously, CoinDesk reported that at least $30 million had been extended to crypto companies by several banks including JPMorgan Chase, Silicon Valley Bank, Cross River Bank and others. CoinDesk also reported Signature had extended only 9 PPP loans to crypto firms. Not PPP proof. The news further reveals a deeper need in the crypto industry for relief in the wake of the global economic crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Likewise, Signature's program proves the bank's commitment to the digital asset space. While Signature's business is primarily focused on serving high-net-worth individuals and it does not call itself a crypto bank or refer to its digital asset team as a crypto banking division, the bank did rake in $1 billion in deposits from the sector in the second quarter 2020 alone. I believe I said it about a year and a half ago, that if you weren't into blockchain technology and the digital world in 5 years, you would have a problem as a bank. There's 3.5 years left, and it may be sooner, DePaolo told CoinDesk in a recent interview. I think the situation we have right now with this pandemic and the quagmire, it's going to make the public look at digital currencies. Signature Bank's crypto awakening. In January 2018, the bank hired Joseph Seibert as the senior vice president for its digital asset banking team. Seibert started with 3 employees and has grown the team to 12 as of August 2020. He was previously a vice president at similarly crypto-friendly Metropolitan Commercial Bank. The bank's Signet payments platform is a proprietary blockchain based on the Ethereum protocol, which allows for fee-less instant fiat settlement. While it's popular within the digital asset space, firms outside of the space, such as renewable energy companies, use Signet to settle thousands of transactions a day without dealing with the payment friction between suppliers and wholesale distributors. Seibert added that Signet has the same capabilities as the Silvergate Exchange Network but is built on blockchain versus the bank's internal systems. We have the same ecosystem they have and did it in under 3 years, he said. Octopus approach. The bank started out by serving exchanges, which Seibert calls the octopus because of how many firms that need banking services in crypto are tied directly to the exchanges. The bank now serves proprietary traders, hedge funds, custody firms, mining farms and other verticals in the space, he said. Signature does treat firms in the digital asset space carefully, to offset transactional costs for traditional payment rails, wires and ACH payments. For instance, digital asset exchanges on Signet have to keep 30% of their balance in a non-interest-bearing account. Signature's PPP program and recent growth in deposits from crypto customers makes it confident as a leader in the cryptocurrency banking space, Seibert said. There's more bank competition overseas, but they are always going to need the US dollar on-ramp, he said. The bank is now looking to expand its Signet offering beyond US dollars with the launch of a foreign currency exchange wallet sometime in the near future. A number of the bank's clients are FX liquidity providers, and Seibert believes foreign exchange is a large component of the crypto space, with some FX trades still taking weeks to settle if a bank is not crypto-friendly. Ideally, we would like to launch that sooner rather than later, hopefully next year, Seibert said of the new Forex service. Meet Taurus, the one-click blockchain wallet trying to make Web3 as easy as Chrome. People may like the idea of blockchains in Web 3.0, but they tend to hit an immediate obstacle in the form of private cryptographic keys and mnemonic seed phrases that cannot be lost, forgotten or divulged at any cost. Private key management specialist Taurus replaces that jarring user experience with what appears to be a familiar single login, but one that's reinforced behind the scenes by a clever distributed architecture built for Web 3.0. Announced Monday, the Singapore-based startup has released a one-click Chrome browser extension for its Taurus wallet and added a new product called T-Key, a custom version of two-factor authentication, 2FA. The extension will also work in Brave. When information is exchanged online, users don't want to know about the underlying public key infrastructure, PKI, and so it should be with blockchains in the next generation of the internet, or Web3, said Taurus Labs CEO Jen Juyang. But while people don't want that tricky user interface, they do, of course, want to control the process in a decentralized manner, Jen added. Our goal is to make key management convenient to the mainstream user, my parents, for example, to be able to use crypto, while still retaining the level of security and non-custodiality which is needed for decentralized applications, Jen said in an interview. We've always seen ourselves more as a key management company rather than a wallet. We are kind of a step up for wallets, more like an infrastructure layer. How Taurus works? At a high level, Taurus splits and distributes sensitive data needed to construct a user's private key between the user and nodes on the Taurus network, which includes Binance, Ethereum Name Service, ENS, Etherscan, Modich Network, Ontology, Scale, Tendermint Core and Zilliqa. Distributed key generation is generally divided into three parts, or secret shares, Shamir's secret sharing, or SSS, for the technically conversant, with two held by the user and the third further split across the Taurus network. The new T-Key release allows users to easily add and control incremental layers of security, a kind of customizable 2FA that works like a smart contract, said Jen. An obvious extra security layer to add would be a mobile phone, which could store a user's additional secret share in its secure enclave, protected by a biometric passcode. If the user has more than one mobile device, they could add as many layers of security as they want. Similar to other 2FA systems, as long as the user has access to two out of three of their secret shares, they will be able to retrieve their private keys and login. On the shoulders of giants, for many users, logging into dApps is done by authenticating with MetaMask, the kind of default Ethereum browser wallet. Taurus has built on top of MetaMask, although it should be mentioned that the consensus-backed plugin recently changed its licensing to create its new Chrome extension. We greatly appreciate the MetaMask team's hard work and development, Taurus wrote in a press statement. However, due to Taurus' necessity of being open source, Taurus extension, forked from the 22nd of June 2020, continues to use its older MIT license. Jen described the arrangement as building on the shoulders of giants and stressed that Taurus is not seeking an edge over MetaMask. By no means do we feel like we want to compete with MetaMask. We're actually in talks with MetaMask with regards to their licensing changes, and about potentially integrating, he said. In July of last year, Taurus raised a $2 million seed round led by Multicoin Capital, including Coinbase Ventures and Binance Labs, while testing the first version of hassle-free login using Gmail, akin to OAuth protocol on the internet. Taurus has always had a close relationship with Binance, which invested $500,000 in the seed round, and the largest exchange by volume is now playing a central role in the new Taurus product releases. We're super excited that Binance actually co-developed T-Key with us, and it's going to be an open-source SDK, said Jen. We are launching this together. Along with this SDK, Binance itself and the Chrome extension for Binance DEX and Smart Chain is going to have both Taurus and T-Key integrated into it as one of the core key management flows. Huobi and OKEX battle for supremacy in China. Cryptocurrency exchange Huobi is taking aim at competitor OKEX in China, specifically the business of trading Bitcoin futures and other derivatives contracts. The fight opens a new front in a long-standing rivalry. OKEX, which is led by Chinese executives and based in Malta, is the world's biggest crypto derivatives exchange, with outstanding contracts valued at $1.26 billion, according to the data site CoinGecko. Huobi, also led by Chinese Brass but based in Singapore, is close behind, tied for second place with another exchange, BitMEX, at $1.25 billion. In a report this month, Huobi said it has managed to push new boundaries against other well-established exchanges when it comes to futures trading volume. Huobi is already beating OKEx in a few market segments, according to the report, including coin margin futures where traders can post their initial down payment, known as margin, using cryptocurrencies. Huobi claims to also regularly beat OKEx in weekly and quarterly Bitcoin futures contracts. Before Huobi launched its futures contract in December 2018, OKEx had the largest market share of the world, Sierra Sun, vice president of Huobi Global Markets, told CoinDesk in a Telegram message. Huobi futures always looks up to the best of the market. The battle for supremacy in cryptocurrency futures in China adds to the tension between the two exchanges, which have been at loggerheads at least since 2018, when then OKEx CEO Chris Li defected to Huobi to become vice president of global business development. OKEx CEO Jay Hao, in a company update in March, called Huobi our doppelganger, insisted imitation was the sincerest form of flattery and said he would like to think that Huobi was able to withstand this market volatility by following our footsteps. Last week, Hao told CoinDesk in a Telegram chat, "At OKEx, we seldom judge or compare our performance with our peers because the competition is not easily defined simply with data or certain metrics. Chinese crypto markets are big, lucrative and up for grabs. Experts on China's often murky cryptocurrency markets say the rivalry between the two exchanges likely stems from the fight for customers in the world's second largest economy. There's a natural friction between OKEx and Huobi," Matthew Graham, chief executive officer of Beijing-based crypto consultancy Sino Global Capital, told CoinDesk in an email. "While they have both pushed to enlarge their international footprints, they still prioritize their Chinese user base. China has been pushing to become a global leader in blockchain, in what some observers say could become a hotspot in an emerging Cold War between the country and the US for technological supremacy. Chinese banks are already testing a digital version of its national currency, the yuan, while American officials have said they are merely studying a digital dollar. Under the current rules, Chinese exchanges can't technically sell cryptocurrencies for yuan, and there has been a crackdown from authorities. But many residents in the country buy Bitcoin BTC, or dollar-linked stablecoins like Tether USDT, from over-the-counter brokers, then use those tokens for trading," according to an August 20 report from Chainalysis. The report called the East Asia region the world's biggest cryptocurrency market, accounting for 31% of all transactions in the past 12 months. By using Tether as a fiat stand-in instead of, say, Bitcoin, traders can lock in gains without off-ramping into fiat by simply converting other currencies into Tether and leaving the Tether in their wallet or exchange account, Chainalysis wrote. According to Graham, the friction between the two exchanges has only intensified as they fight to obtain a more favored position with the Chinese government. On that count, Huobi might be one move ahead of OKEx. The Chinese branch of Huobi has joined the blockchain-based service network, BSN, Development Alliance, which aims to be one of the most influential infrastructure services providers in the country. "Is there room for two crypto-focused exchanges at the table?" Graham said. "We aren't certain, but if there's only one position, that position is highly coveted by both OKEx and Huobi." Officially, Huobi doesn't even acknowledge the Chinese cryptocurrency market exists. "There is not a market in China. That is not legal," Sun said. According to the website tracker, Huobi appears to be getting nearly a third of its website traffic from Chinese visitors, versus 14% for OKEx. "We don't know the exact trading volume being done in China, unfortunately, but we can see Bitcoin flow changes when the Chinese government announces something," says Ki Young Ju, CEO of the Korean blockchain data tracker CryptQuant. The regional turf war between Huobi and OKEx now serves as a backdrop in their competition for more futures trading business. Huobi has managed to push new boundaries against other well-established exchanges when it comes to futures trading volume, according to the company's August 14 report. The exchange says it's also beating OKEx on market depth, a gauge of how many buy and sell orders are waiting at any given price point. Tom Wong, chief operating officer of Huobi Futures, told CoinDesk the company's newly launched perpetual swap product, which functions similar to futures but without expiry dates, also contributed to the second quarter growth. Huobi's perpetual swaps 24-hour trading volume was at $5.37 billion, surpassing BitMEX's $5.22 billion on May 12, 2020, he said. On this particular product, OKEX remains less competitive to us. Customers are seeing at least one benefit from the feud, more choices. Huobi announced in July it will launch Bitcoin option trading in the third quarter, while OKEX said around the same time it has added three more expiration dates daily, two-day and monthly to its options trading suite. We appreciate a healthy competition, Lennox Lai, Director of Financial Markets at OKEX, told CoinDesk. Devay Wan, a partner at crypto asset investment fund Primitive Ventures, told CoinDesk in a Twitter direct message the squabble reminds her of the way Chinese tech giants vie for dominance in the domestic market. It's like Alibaba and Tencent never fight Google and Facebook, said Wan, who also serves as a member of CoinDesk's advisory board. But they fight bitterly in China. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.